Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? It's your boy Adrian Reese, and you're tuned in to The Recruit, brought to you by Sword Radio. Big ups to PDP Regions for this opportunity. And, you know, I started a trend a couple weeks ago of praying on air when the show first starts. And, you know, it's just my way of acknowledging God, because the Bible tells us to not do anything without praying in all things. Be prayerful, and so that's how I want to start this show. I always do it in praying before the show starts with my guests, but I want to include, you know, all of you guys and encourage you guys to do the same, not just in everything, because that's what God wants to be included in everything. And so let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we come before you today, God, first of all, saying thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the day. Thank you for bringing us to this point where you have us, God. Thank you for all the things that you blessed us with, God, that we can recognize, Lord, as a blessing, and things that we can't recognize as such, Lord. We ask you to just continue to lead us and guide us, God. Forgive us for our sins, Lord, for all of our mistakes, for all of our wrongdoings, God. Help us to learn from them and to grow from them and grow in you, God, and grow in your godly wisdom, your godly knowledge. I ask you to watch over this show, God. Watch over everything that's said on this show, that it may touch someone who's listening, Father God, that they have a desire to come to know you better, Lord, or to get to know you, Lord, to develop an intimate relationship with you, God, to surrender their life to you on tonight, Father God, because this is a great day, a great time to get to know you, Father God. I ask you to just open their hearts, their ears, their minds, to understand, to feel your presence, God, to come to know you, God. I ask you to watch over my guests and Shayla Reese, Father God, and just the conversation and the questions that are asked, the answers that are given, that may be inspired by your word, inspired by your spirit, God. And just help it, Lord, to not go out void, as your word says, Lord. And we trust you, and we love you, and we praise you, God. And we just ask you to just do your thing, Lord, as you always do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And like I said, you know, that's something that I encourage everybody to do. You know, in everything, be prayerful. Everything. There's nothing too little. There's nothing too big to take to God. That's what he wants. He wants to be included in everything. Because, I mean, that's the only way that things will play out as they should if God is at the forefront and he's taking the lead. But I'm excited about the show today. My guest is Shayla Reese, a former Western Kentucky University women's basketball player. She was newcomer of the year, one-time newcomer of the year, one-time player of the year. And she's my big sister. She's number 3 of 8. I'm number 8. She's number 3. But she's my big sister. She's somebody I've always looked up to, that I've always had tons of respect for because of just the life that she lived. And she was always a great athlete. She played volleyball and basketball all growing up and through high school and basketball and college. And just she was always on top of her grades and one of the smartest in not just class but in school. And, you know, was the first one in my family to graduate and get a degree. And so everything that she did and watching her life and going to her college, I remember going to her college graduation and just seeing it. And understanding that, hey, it is possible. You know, those were dreams and aspirations that I had for myself, but seeing someone in my family, my big sister, do it, you know, that was it, that gave me even more encouragement to that I could accomplish it myself. And she's just always been a great inspiration to me. And just watching her even after college and giving her life to Christ and watching her walk in that, that's just, it makes my heart smile, and just knowing that she's on the squad and that she's committed and that she's pushing and towards the same goal as me. And, you know, with no further ado, I don't want to hesitate, but I want to just want to welcome Shayla Reese. What's going on, Shay?
How's it going? With that kind of introduction, I don't know what else to say.
Well, you know, I bring you out. If anybody bring you out, I bring you out. But, you know, like I said, you know, I'm excited to have you on the show. But I'll give you a brief background on you, but tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, like Shayla Reese, finna turn 35 in October. I have a 9-year-old living in Longview, which is something I, when I was growing up, never thought this would happen, be back in Longview. I'm 1 of 8. I had a what I considered a normal childhood, family close. We grew up close, still close, which is something that I cherish. And went to Longview High. I mean, did, you know, just had, like, did all the normal things that any kid would want to be. I mean, like, and now that I look back, I couldn't think of anything when I was growing up that I can say that I didn't have. Even if I did have it, I didn't know I didn't have it. So I'm just, you know, just happy to be on the show, trying to do and reach anybody that I can.
And that's what it's all about, just trying to reach, like you said, reach whoever you can, whoever's willing to listen. And you said you never thought you'd be back in Longview. You know, growing up, that's not really something that you dreamed of. But and so growing up in a big family and from a small town, how much value did you put on education, or did you view sports as your ticket out?
Well, it was kind of like a, it was both. It was like, I knew I had to, I mean, you know, coming from a big family, and it wasn't like, okay, I can pick any college I go to, and I know my parents are going to pay for it, but it was like, okay, I need to do good in school, and I need to try to do, and then plus I love playing sports, so that was another way that I could work that into going to school, because I knew my way out was going to school. And growing up in Longview, I mean, all through school, my thing was, when I graduate, I'm going as far as I can. I want to go to, I mean, I want to get as far away from Longview, Texas. I mean, when colleges, I didn't even look at a college in Texas just because it was in Texas, and I wanted to get out. And that's why I said I'm back in Longview, because, I mean, you, when you're growing up, you think of stuff like that, but then when you get a little older and you look back, I mean, just because I'm in Longview, I can still accomplish, or am accomplishing, some of the goals that I set for myself. But, I mean, when I was growing up, I was like, okay, to do this, I got to go to the big city, or I got to get out of this small town, because, I mean, it was Longview.
And, you know, you said you wanted to get as far away from Longview as you could. Was that more so just because it was a small town, or why was that?
Well, it was just to, I mean, get out and see something else. I mean, I grew up in Longview, in Longview, Texas. So my way of thinking was, if I seen Longview, Texas, I've seen Texas. So I wanted to go somewhere else, and I said, well, okay, I'll go somewhere else. And then I went to actually went to Arizona, which is the opposite of Texas. I mean, it's the only thing they have in common is hot, but. I mean, with Texas, you're hot one day and cold the next. But, it was an experience. I went there for 2 years, and then I went to Kentucky for 2 years. And so, I love the time. But, I mean, when you're over there, you miss home. You start to think about, okay, what are these people doing? What are they doing? Because, you know, every couple of days, talk to my parents, talk to my brother and sister, just to keep in touch, see what's going on. I was doing what I wanted to do, and then I was connected, but it was just, I was so far away that you start to miss the little things that you took for granted when you were just right down the road, or, you know, in the same house.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like you said, in missing home and in missing the things, the little things that you took for granted before, was that, how was it? In your time coming home and visiting, was that something that kind of kept you grounded, or gave you a reality check of, okay, everything's still good, I can, you know, go back to school and kind of be content and pursuing me and doing me, or was it something?
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, when you're away, you get caught up in your life. I mean, living your life. And it was like, and I was like, okay, I don't want to forget where I came from. You know, I want to always keep that. I mean, even when I'm over there in Arizona, my mom and dad, they told me how to act and how I was raised, and that manifested itself into the way I interacted with other people in another state. I mean, just because you go out of state don't mean that you forget all the stuff that you learn at home. And then when I went back home, it was just like reinforcing everything that I've been taught, and it was just to get back to around the same people, because being in the room with them and being on the phone with them is two different things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they give you the encouragement, you know, you're doing what you want to do. Because my parents would always, okay, we've lived our life. It's time for you to, you're on your way to living yours. So, mm-hmm. I mean, whatever you want to do, we support you in everything you do. So going to Arizona, even though they thought it was good schools right around here, if that's what I wanted to do. So, you know, go over there. You know, like you said, you can come home and travel. You can come home for holidays, a weekend, spring break, anything. And then you go back, and then you do what you do. And then I accepted that, and then it was wonderful. I mean, I always had in the back of my mind that I can always go back home, because I know my parents would never turn me away. If I went to college and say, well, it's not for me, then I knew I can always say, okay, well, I can go home. But I never wanted to do that. I always wanted to say, okay, I'm going to keep going. Because I know if I do keep going, my parents would be that much prouder of me, because I said, okay, I fought through this. Something happened, I fought through that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just pushed me. Coming home actually pushed me to go back to school and keep going. So I love coming home every couple months or whenever I can get away. I love that.
So was there ever a time when you were away from home that you kind of, it's kind of like one of those deals of out of sight, out of mind, you know, to where you, like you said, when you come home, it kind of reinforces the things that, like, where you're from. But was there ever a time when you were away from home, whether it be in college or even after, that you had kind of lost touch on the reality of what home was and, you know, how much, you know, you're the third of eight kids. And
yeah.
So just home and seeing your parents still caring for us, the kids that are still at home, was there ever a time where you forgot about that and were kind of caught up in self? Like, man, I got to, you know, that kind of I got to get mine attitude.
Well, it was, you know, when I went away the first year, it wasn't that bad. It was, it was actually my sophomore year in Arizona. It was like, okay, I'm not homesick anymore, and I'm away from home. So, you know, I should just start. I'm a kid. I mean, I'm in college. I should start living it up. So it was a time where, you know, it was I knew the teachings and everything was still in there, but I just kind of ignored them, or I didn't listen to them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just like, okay, I'm a kid. This is what kids do. I mean, I didn't feel any guilt or anything about what I was doing, because, I mean, this is what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I'm supposed to do all this other stuff. I'm supposed to make these mistakes. I'm supposed to they're doing it out, and I mean, they're having fun, so I want to do what they're doing. So, I mean, it was. Like a couple years. I mean, it wasn't so much that I just forgot about home. It just wasn't at the forefront.
Uh-huh.
I still went home, but I had got to a point where I went home and I just, okay, I know how my parents are, so that's what I'm going to do when I go home. I'm going to act just like they want me to act.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say what they want me to say. I'm going to act how they want me to act. I'm going to dress like they want me to dress while I'm at home. Because I knew when I went back to school, they weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could just, go back to what I was doing, and I never thought, I said, well, there's no big deal. I mean, it won't hurt anybody. Nobody never know. So I'll just continue to do what I want to do.
Now, in doing that, in establishing those habits of kind of doing what you want to do, and when you're out on your own away at college, in after college, and I know there was a one point when you in making a transition into the workforce that you were came back and you were staying with your parents, our parents. Now, was it difficult to kind of hone in, reel in those habits that you had established at college? Of, you know, hey, this is me, I'm going to do what I want to do. Was that difficult in coming back and being around your family more?
It kind of was because when I came home, actually, when I graduated college, I went and played pro ball in Israel.
Uh-huh.
And I played over there, loved it, met a lot of different people. But then I got hurt. I hurt my shoulder, and they were talking about that it was going to be major surgery. And I had always told myself I love basketball, but if I had a major surgery, that would make me think a little bit about more of playing basketball. You know, I would have to weigh the option. And then what the doctor told me, he said, if you never played basketball again, you wouldn't have to have the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But if you played, it would be like you would do months of rehab, you know, to get back to where you are now. And I made that decision that it was time for me to hang up basketball. And then I went home. But I went home kind of disillusioned because I had seen myself playing basketball for a while. And
uh-huh.
coming back home after a year was not in my plans. So I'm coming back home, and my parents accepted me because, I mean, to me, I came back home broken. Like, I failed. I didn't, this was not my life plan. This was not my plan I had for myself. I didn't see
mm-hmm.
myself coming back home after a year playing ball, living with my parents. Like, to me, it felt like I didn't go anywhere. I left home with this grand plan of what I was going to do, what I was going to accomplish, and I'm right back where I started, in my parents' back room. You know, basically, I came home. I had a little money, but I mean, that wasn't going to last for a long while. So I mean, I'm back in that depending on my parents stage, and it took a while. I don't want to say it was depression. It was just, I just kind of focused inward.
Uh-huh.
You know how people can, they'll be talking to you, and what you hear what they're saying, but it's not penetrating into you. I mean, you're not
uh-huh.
feeling it.
I just nod
my head because I know that's what they want to see, me nodding my head like, okay,
mm-hmm.
I understand what you're saying. I'm listening to you. I'm doing this. But on the inside, I wasn't trying to hear that. I wasn't trying
mm-hmm.
to hear it. I wanted to have my pity party, my self-pity, and I just wanted to have it, and I wanted everybody to be comfortable with it. And, you know, however long it take me, I just want that. That's where I was at. I didn't want to hear anything
uh-huh.
anybody had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took a while. I mean, it was, that wasn't what I wanted to be. I did not want to be in my parents' back room back home after graduating college and playing, because I said, well, man, I'll be over here for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, however long I wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even finish out a year.
Now, do you think even in finishing, like you said, in not finishing a year, and that was opposite of your plan, was in looking back on it now, do you feel like that was a blessing in disguise?
I do.
Why would you say that?
It took a long time because I mean, where I am now and the life I have now, I wouldn't trade it. And who knows if I would have stayed over there so many more years, if I would ever came back home.
Uh-huh.
Because, like I said, when I left, my thing was, I'm just going to come home to visit. You know, I'll come home for holidays, and then I'll be back out again.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the further you got away from Longview, actual city of Longview, the further you were getting away from yourself, in a sense.
Yeah, it was like, the farther I got away, I was just taking on other stuff. It's like, okay, well, I don't know anybody over here. Nobody knows me, so I can just do what I want to do. And I was just getting trapped up in everything that was around me.
Uh-huh.
I was just picking up all these little habit stuff, everything that was around me, and it's like I was pushing out everything that made Shayla Shayla.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was a different person. I mean, I look back now and I couldn't. I'm amazed that I said, man, I don't know why I was doing that or why I was doing this. I can't explain it right now of what was going on in my head.
Excuse me. So, like you said, God has a way of drawing us back, and that's why I had, you know, about it, if you felt like it was a blessing in disguise, because, you know, I can relate to that. And just how you said, the further you got away from home, it was like you were getting away from what made Shayla Shayla. And
yeah.
God saw that ultimately. And God saw the road you were headed down and where you were headed to, but he also knew the plan he had for you. And that wasn't
yeah.
in line. And so he had his way of reeling you back in. And so I know you said you looked at basketball as you're going to leave and you're going as far away from home as you can. And that was kind of your ticket. And then
yeah.
you tore your shoulder up. And it's like God calls the thing that you put your trust in the most to fall through.
Yeah, and I wasn't looking at it like that. I was saying, okay, well, I was like, I got it made. I'm playing basketball. They're paying me to play basketball. I love basketball. And I just worked so hard at it. And then when it was gone, it was like I was brought back to the bottom, like, okay. I mean, you don't have basketball, so you got to do something else. I mean, you got to start over. So what are you going to do? And that was hard. That was hard to come. It was hard for me to come to that conclusion. But I mean, it was something that I needed, because, like you said, I had put too much. I had put so much in basketball that I was forgetting everything else. I wasn't even looking at anything else.
It was almost, do you think it was more, you had looked at it as an idol god?
That's a little different. I never heard of, like, I do. Because I had put so much stock into it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because I've been playing it since I was 5, 6.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I played it every summer, played it in school, I mean, I never had a summer off, because I was playing sports.
Uh-huh.
And so it was just, and I think it had got to the point where I just knew I was going to have it. I had took it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew it was always going to be there. So I think it did become an idol god.
And that's important. Because there's so many times that we allow things to become an idol in our lives that we, you know, an idol god is not just a wooden sculpture or something that you're bound down to, but it's anything that you put ahead of God. And, you know, that's why I asked that, because, like you said, you were investing all of your time, all of your effort, all of your work, everything into basketball, basketball, basketball. And so it's easy, and that's something you love. And so it's
yeah.
easy to allow that to overtake God in your life. And that was so many of us can say the same thing. It may not be basketball, but it may be money, or it may be your career, or it may be your family or your spouse, but nothing is supposed to come ahead of God. And like I said before, God has a way of drawing us back to realize that. And saying, I'm going to put this ahead of me, you know, what if I take this away? What if I pull this off? And what if your shoulder is done, what choice do you have now? And it's just a way of redirecting us back to Christ, back home. And so after graduating college and deciding not to pursue basketball anymore, how was the transition into the workforce?
It was hard, because you're out there and you don't know what you want to do. I mean, you're like, okay, basketball is out, so I have to find something. And it was, I had a plan. I didn't have a plan. Then I said, okay, well, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. It was a struggle. I mean, I didn't, like I said, for a while, I didn't really care. And so then I just went and I said, man, well, I need to work. You kind of get to the point where now I mean, you just got to have a job.
Yeah, kind of desperate.
Yeah, so I went and I actually got a job, and I got I started working at Dana in Longview, and it was and that was through a temp service, and I mean I was working. It it wasn't what I wanted to do. I mean, you would have told me that, I would have said no, I'm not going to be doing that. But I mean, I need to work, and so when you start to get somebody's gonna hire me, I'm gonna work, whatever it needs to. But before that, I had did like I worked 2 days. I was a server at I worked like benefits. I was a server at everything. I mean, I did a lot of little temp jobs, and then I got hired on at Dana. And the thing was, I got hired on at Dana. It wasn't the job I wanted, but I mean, I enjoyed it. I started making money, and then I started to get I started to feel myself again. I said, okay, well, I'm making money. I'm doing what I want to do. I said, I'm about to move out of my parents' house. I'm going to be set.
Uh-huh.
You know? I said, I mean, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be set.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say I reverted back to where I was in college, but I did. I went to church because I stayed in my parents' house. And
uh-huh.
You had to go to church.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was a rule. Raised in church, so if you're going to stay with me, you're going to church when we go to church. So that was how I looked at it. Okay, we're going to church tonight. Okay, I'll be ready. So church, and then when church was over, I did what I wanted to do, and I was out.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved to Irving. Got my own place. Left and went to Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Got hired at a post office distribution center. Was just like, okay, I'm starting to make a little come up. I mean, I moved from another job. I got pretty good. I'm out of my parents' house. Got my own place. But then I was, you know, just whatever I wanted to do, I was starting to do it again. Well, then I found out I was pregnant, and that was never on my agenda. I mean, never. I mean, it was nowhere on there. Was that part of my plan?
How was that having your son without the traditional family environment that you always wanted? Was that difficult, and what was that process like you're saying?
It was hard. I mean, I was in denial, for like 3 months. And then, you know, you ever had a feeling where you know something, but if somebody don't say it to you, you don't believe it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew in my heart. I said, I mean, I knew I was pregnant, but I didn't go to the doctor, so it wasn't true. So then when I finally did go after 3 months of denying and saying, oh, yeah, I told everybody, oh, I'm sick, I got a virus, and I got some medicine, it'll be all right in a couple days.
It's like you knew, it's something you knew to be true, but you didn't want to confirm.
Yeah. And so I actually, I was down here, and I think my sister, Ashley, we went to the doctor, I had to go. I mean, I'm like, okay, I got to go to the doctor. And then the nurse came in, and, I mean, they did blood work and everything, and they were like, okay, we're going to send you home. Go and get the discharge paper. And then the nurse comes in, me and my sister sitting there talking, and she said, oh, okay, by the way, you're pregnant. And I'm in momentary disbelief. My sister starts, I mean, before the nurse can even turn around, she's already on the phone calling my mama. And then my mom's on the way up there, and this was not the plan.
So what was your initial thought when you heard that? What was your first thought?
It was disbelief. What am I going to do now? And then, you know, I'm not married. I came from a home where my parents, and then they've been married for forever, and then they have 8 kids together. But, you know, we have the same mom and dad, and that's kind of how I view the. I mean, that's what I've all. That's what I always wanted. But I mean, I saw it as a. It was off a little bit. If that was my future, and I never did. Nowhere in my thinking was it okay. I'm going to have a what they say now, child out of wedlock. That was not in my plan. I mean, that was not something that I saw, and it took. I think like the whole pregnancy for, I mean, just to get your mind right, like, okay, this happened and this is something else that could either make you or break you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but now it's not just you. I mean, it's somebody else that depends on you. Uh-huh. So if I fall apart, I'm dragging somebody else with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that moment hit me as soon as I had my son. It was like, okay, I got to change the way I've been living. I got to change the way what I've been doing because I got to take care of somebody else. I mean, it was all right if I went out, didn't get any sleep, or just did what I wanted to do because it was just me. I wasn't affecting anybody. I thought I wasn't affecting anybody. Even though I had family, nobody was depending on me.
Uh-huh. You weren't responsible for anybody.
Yeah, I wasn't. And then now I was, and it was like, it was a whole different world. It was like, okay, I mean, it didn't happen overnight, but it's like, okay, if I do this, how is this going to affect Cedric? Mm-hmm. If I do this, what is he going to do? If I do this and he finds out, how would I feel when, I mean, because even though he was a baby, I mean, he was going to grow up, and so what I'm doing now is not like it's all of a sudden it's just going to go away in a couple years. It's still going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So if he found out some of this stuff, would I have an answer for him? Mm-hmm. Could I actually explain it? So it was like, okay, I need to take a step back and just cut out some stuff that I'm doing. And my thing was, it wasn't that, okay, I need to start going to church. It was just stuff, everyday life stuff I needed to do. That mm-hmm. And then I never thought about, okay, we need to go to church, we need to do this, we need to do that. I just thought that, okay, if I cut back going out, if I cut back doing this, if I cut back doing this, then we'll be good.
And so, like you said, coming from a traditional family of having a mother and a father in the household and 8 kids, and, you know, they're still married to this day, and you winding up pregnant. And was there ever a moment that you felt ashamed or felt like you let someone down or that you were of less value because of the thing that because of getting pregnant outside of marriage?
I felt like I did let my parents down because I know they taught better than this. And as I know that I know that's their beliefs, and it was mine too. So it's not like it's something that I didn't believe in myself. It's just that you're just in that. Well, okay, well, it won't happen to me. When it does, you know, I'll be married for a couple of years, and you know, I'll be ready for it. I'll have my mind all right, and everything be all great. But for a little bit, I did feel a little ashamed. But then it was like, you can't be a little bit pregnant. You're either, or you aren't. Because like my dad always say, you are pregnant or you're not pregnant. I mean, you can't be a little bit pregnant.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was ashamed. Yeah. I was ashamed for a little bit, but then everybody knew. So it was like, okay, I mean, you got to get over that because, I mean, it's happening whether I wanted to or not.
Uh-huh.
So it's either, okay, what are you going to do? It's another decision. It's another time for you to make a decision. And, I mean, I talked to my parents. I actually moved back in with my parents again, which seemed like something knocked me on my feet, and my parents are there to, you know, okay, picking you back up, piece you back together, and then send you back out to the world again. But I moved home, and it was moving home while I was pregnant was probably the best thing that ever happened to me.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, my parents were there, and it was not once did I feel like my being pregnant without being married was something they looked down on. They were like, okay, you're about to bring a baby. We're about to have another grandchild. It's a celebration. It wasn't time to look down upon and get mad or sad or be depressed. It was a celebration. And I mean, they're showing me every day. I mean, I had constant help, and my mom would, you know, relate stories. I mean, they were out of date stories because, you know, when my mom grew up and was pregnant, didn't do a lot of stuff. So, But I mean, it was just her. It's her telling me about. I mean, you're pregnant. Enjoy that pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because I mean, you're gonna be pregnant for so long. Enjoy it. I mean, it's a time for you to enjoy it, and I mean, I don't know what I would do if I wouldn't have went back home when I found out I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it as, I mean, that was a blessing. My son mm-hmm. was a blessing, but going home was also a blessing.
And so just hearing your story, hearing your testimony, it seems to me that every time you're kind of getting out and getting further away from who Shayla was, something happened that drew you back home. And not even just home physically, but back to what you were raised to be and what you were raised to do and your parents' beliefs that they instilled in you. And just like you said, and going off to college and then coming back home and then going to Israel and playing basketball and getting hurt and coming back home and then going to Dallas and getting pregnant and then having to move back home. And so it was like every time you kind of got away from yourself and the godly principles that your parents instilled in you, God allowed something to come up on you that, okay, reel you back in. You're getting off path. You know, that didn't slow you down this way. If that shoulder didn't slow you down, I know this baby will, and because it's no longer, like you said, it's no longer just you. And so do you ever, I know being a single mom, I take that back, I don't know, because I'm a man, but there's a lot of single moms. Single parent household is dominant now in today's culture.
Yeah.
More women who are head of the households than there are men, because a lot of it's becoming more and more common of being a single mom raising kids. And mm-hmm. so is there ever a moment of, how did you find contentment in being a single mom? And are there ever any times that are there ever any moments of discontentment? And what are some of the practical things that you do to kind of refocus yourself?
I mean, you have moments of doubt, especially I'm raising a son, and you're always questioning, am I doing enough, or am I doing this right, or something that will he be proud of this, or will he be proud of me? And I mean, most of all of my decisions now are, okay, do I need to get something for Cedric? Do I need to do something for Cedric? How would Cedric feel? And it's I mean, I can't explain it, but I mean, it took a while to get here. I mean, there were a lot of moments where I said, well, am I doing the right thing? I mean, you know, is this really what, I mean, is this what we're supposed to be doing? You know, me and Cedric, you know, by ourselves, single parent, is this what we're supposed to be doing? And then, I had to quit asking that question, because this is what we're doing. It's not, is this what we're supposed to? It's what we are.
Uh-huh.
So then once I accepted that this is what I am, it was wonderful. And then, we just started to, like I said, I grew up in church, but church had become something that I just go to because, you know, my parents go. And I went to my parents' church, so we just went and I go, but I was going to church, and it felt like every time somebody was talking, it was something that I was asking myself. I mean, you know, is this a life that you're trying to live? I mean, You know,
it was questions that you were asking yourself on the inside, but they were, you know, in them speaking or in them preaching. It's like they were saying everything you were thinking inwardly. So was there anything in particular, or what was it that drew you to giving your life to Christ ultimately?
Well, I was down at my uncle's church, Uncle Jerry, Pastor Jerry in Tatum, in New Sweet Home. My brother, Pastor Damien now, but he was Brother Damien at the time, he was doing a revival. And then it wasn't so much the questions or the way he was saying it. He was basically saying, why? I mean, why do you go to church? Why do you praise him? Why do you show up? Why do you listen to the preacher? And then you go home the same way you came.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like, why waste your time? If you're going to go and come back the same way, why even go?
Mm-hmm. If you're coming hurt and leaving hurt, it's defeating
the
purpose.
Because I mean, I go in stressed, I come out stressed. I didn't go for nothing. I go in hurt, I come out hurt. It's like all of a sudden that little question why it just hit me, and it was like, okay, why? I mean, there's somebody so much greater that can take all of this, and I can just live for him, and it would be so much easier, and I would go in seeking for something, and I would come out with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it's like all of a sudden I had a light bulb moment, my eyes open, and I said, okay, I don't care that I'm in my uncle's church, I don't care that it's my brother speaking, but it was time.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, okay, I give up. I mean, I'm going to do what you would have me to do. And it's like, I wouldn't say things just all of a sudden just lined up, domino effect, but it's stuff that would just get to me. It didn't affect me the same.
It was somewhat of an inner peace, would you say?
Yeah, it was. I would look at it different. Okay,
uh-huh.
Like a week before, that would drive me crazy. But now it's like, okay, I don't see it now, but I know it's going to happen. I had that faith that, okay, I mean, I can't see it, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I wouldn't say my life just became so much greater, but it became a lot simpler. It became a lot simpler. So now if I go to church, I'm going to get something. And I might not be saying, okay, well, I got a bill coming up, so I need to go to church. That wasn't what I was going for. It was like, okay, Lord, it's been, I've been a little down this week. I just want to go and just to enjoy, you know, just to be in the presence and enjoy, just enjoy being in the house of God. And it was
drawing closer.
And it was, I mean, you just go and you just enjoying it, and just going to church became an enjoyment instead of just becoming a chore that I had to do. Okay, I know I'm going to go to church today. We'll probably get out about 10:30, 11, so I'll be back at the house. Mm-hmm. I can do this and this and this. So now it's like, okay, well, it's getting close to 8. I'll be at church in a little bit. And then it was like, forget what time we got out. Whatever time we got out, okay, it was what time it started.
Uh-huh. You're eager.
And then I would just go, and I was like, okay, I'm enjoying. And then the messages and the words and it had a deeper meaning to me, because I started to feel what I was hearing instead of just nodding my head like it would go in one ear and out the other. I started to feel it, and I can't. It's a feeling you can't explain. I mean, but you wouldn't get rid of for anything.
And you know, I know exactly what you mean in saying you can't explain. It's one of those things where I say all the time, you don't get until you get it, until you get it for yourself. You know, we can sit here and try to put words to it and describe it in different ways, but you won't understand it until you get it for yourself. It's one of those things that you have to try for yourself. And even after giving your life to Christ, you know, like you said, it was just more of an inner peace. Things that bothered you before, they didn't bother you anymore. Was that something that developed over time as well after, you know, that night of surrendering your life to Christ? Was it after, do you feel like it was gradually over time that peace grew and that understanding grew with whether it be studying the Bible or actually getting into God's Word and getting your own understanding? What was it for you that really brought everything together?
It was a gradual thing because, I gave my life to Christ, but it's not like, okay, my whole way of thinking changed, but it didn't just change as soon as I lifted my hands. It didn't change instantly. It was a gradual, thing, and it was, I would just come home and I would study, and even though I've been in church all my life, I wanted people to say, okay, when I walk into a room or something, I want people to say, okay, she gave her life to Christ, which I don't see somebody looking just, I mean, I ain't said a word, I haven't did anything, but somebody looking at me, they wouldn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But soon as I opened my mouth and started talking, they would say, okay, something changed about her.
Uh-huh.
She talking different. She acting different. She doing different things. When we had this conversation last time, she was so mad she couldn't even speak. Now it's like it doesn't even bother her.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like my actions kind of opened the way for, okay, well, Shayla, what changed to you? And then that was the way to communicate, okay, well, this happened to me. You know, I went to church, and then it's like I just gave my life to God, and then that opened the door for other things.
To minister.
Which at the time, I wasn't considered a minister, and I was just giving my testimony of what I had went through. But it was, and I think it was needed for me so I could see how I had changed.
Uh-huh.
Because speaking to other people, it let me know. Because when you give your life to Christ, you don't just instantly see the changes. I mean, you might stop. Okay, well, I'm not gonna drink anymore. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna do this. I mean, that's just stuff that you feel that goes along with being saved.
Mm-hmm. That's tradition and law.
Yeah, I mean, and plus how you grew up. I mean, when somebody say they saved, it was instantly, okay, well, I know they don't do this. I know they don't do that. Mm-hmm. But it was the way that they talked. It was the way that they act, way they carried themselves, how they handled situations.
Mm-hmm.
That I had to learn gradually, and I think that learning that has brought me even closer.
And just it seems just finding contentment in that it's a ever growing process. You never get to the point where you say, "Man, I got it and I got it all." Like I often look at it like being a Christian is not something that you can retire from. It's not like you put in your time and you're like, "Oh man, I've been saved 20 years. You know, I'm good. You know, I'm gonna do my thing. I'm still going to heaven." And all it is, like, it's not something you just put down and walk away from. It's not something that you become fully grown in. You no longer have room to grow or opportunity to grow or things to learn. It's a gradual process from start to finish. Because growing up in church, you hear people go to the extreme of saying, you know, when I got saved, my hands look new, you know, my feet look new.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, when I got saved, I looked down, I still had them same shoes. But, I mean, I didn't feel that way. And I felt the exact same way you did. It was a gradual process. And I just want to take this time to extend the invitation to whoever may be listening. If you haven't given your life to Christ, that this is the perfect time. Thursday night is the best night. Tonight is the best night. If you haven't given your life to Christ and accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, I invite you to do so. And all I ask you to do is just repeat this prayer with me. Just open your heart, surrender who you are, and just believe. Just believe. Just repeat this prayer with me. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen.
Amen.
And I just want us to be the first one to tell you congratulations. Welcome to the team. Welcome to the family. Because, I mean, that's what it is. We're all recruiters for Christ. That's the name of the show, The Recruit, because the whole concept behind the show is to draw people to Christ, to draw people to Christ. Because this show is not about me. It's not about Shayla. It's about the God that's within us. And that's what we want for you guys. And just like Shayla says, in giving your life to Christ, it's a gradual process. You know, those of you who just repeated that prayer, understand that some things will change instantly. You know, you will put some things aside and decide not to do the thing, but some things are woven out gradually. You gradually grow into understanding. That peace gradually grows into you. In getting in your word, that stirs the Holy Spirit within you, welcomes in the Holy Spirit, and just learning and getting your own understanding of God and of his word, because that's what the Bible tells us, to study to show thyself approved. You know, because we can hear the preacher maybe telling us the truth, but he's telling us the Bible in his own words, in his own opinion. You know, we have to get our own. And the verbal commitment, the saying a prayer and giving your life to Christ, that's just a verbal commitment. When you go through any commitment process, there's a verbal, and then there's a binding commitment when you sign on the dotted line. And for everybody who just repeated the prayer, that was a verbal commitment. But it's binding in the life that you live every day, and walking it out, and growing in Christ, and getting in your word, and just making right decisions. Just making right decisions and growing and sharing it, sharing your testimony, just like Shayla said. It was just, she was ministering, but she didn't know it was ministering at the time. It was just her sharing her story, sharing her testimony. But it was an opportunity and an open door that God opened. People started asking her because they noticed the change. She didn't have to go and broadcast. She didn't have to go buy a shirt that says, I'm saved, are you? And it was just, you know, people saw the change because she started changing inwardly. And it's, I'm excited because I'm excited for all of you who just accepted Christ. And I'm excited because, like I said, it's my big sister, Shayla, and just hearing her testimony and even her sharing some things that I hadn't heard before. And but for anybody, Shayla, for anybody who may want to get in touch with you or contact you or may have any questions for you, is there any way that they can contact you, whether like Facebook or anything like that?
Yes, you can. I'm on Facebook. That's pretty much all I have. I don't have Twitter, Instagram, anything like that. Facebook is pretty much the easiest way to get in touch with me, and it's Shayla Reese. But I enjoyed this. I actually kind of looking back on it, it's, I mean, you look back and you're like, okay, I come from a, I mean, and I came a long way, and I still got a long way to go.
And it's, I mean, that's exactly it. And that's what, you know, that's how we can be content in where we are presently. Just like you said, you know, sometimes you kind of forget. And God's been making that real to me over the last week or so, just looking back and counting your blessings. You hear people say that all the time. But just like you said, and sharing your testimony, it shows you how far you came. But it's not how far you came by your own effort. It's how far God has brought you. And so you look at where you came from, and you look at where you are, and you start being more thankful for, thank you, God, for where I am. You know, I may not have everything that I want or feel like I need, but thank you, I'm not where I was. And the only way that you're there is because of him. And I just want to ask you, is there anything that, what would you say to women who are in your position of being a single mom or just trying to be content and waiting for God's best for them in the form of a godly man, what advice would you give them?
It's to quit listening to everybody, because everybody is like, okay, well, if you would do this, then this would happen. If you would do this, then you would already be married. I mean, you know what you want, you know what you don't want, and you know what you're willing to do. And if you just wait and go at your own pace, I mean, it would happen. I mean, if you force it to happen, then it's like you got to live with those results. Because okay, that wasn't the way it was supposed to happen, and so whatever you get out of that situation you created, it's kind of like that was your fault. But if you wait, and then he's not going to send you something that you don't want or that you shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, I'm just going to wait. I mean, I hear the jokes or okay, well, you know, when you finna get married? I said, well, when you get an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of. I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm kind of at that point now. Okay, when you give an send you an invitation, then you know I'm finna get married. I mean, it's just be true to who you are. I mean, you gotta get yourself in a place to where you're fine by yourself first. Because if you're already dependent on somebody that you don't have, you're not gonna. I mean, it's not gonna work.
Uh-huh.
So you gotta be fine with yourself first, and then, I mean, it'll just happen when it's supposed to happen. I mean, that's how I'm taking it now. It'll happen when it's supposed to happen.
And that's the word for all of my single moms, all of my single women who are waiting on that godly man for God to send them. But and just like Shayla said, you know, just be true to yourself. Be true to what you believe. Stand on God's purpose. Stand to God. Live to God's standard that he has for you. And when you can't be content in being married if you can't be content in being single. And
yeah,
just like you said, if you're so dependent now on a husband, you only have one, who's to say you wouldn't drive that one you get away because you're too dependent? And so,
yeah,
just like you said, just be content in who you are. Be true to who you are. And I just want to thank you, Shayla, for being on the show. You know, you truly blessed me. And I know you blessed everybody that's been listening. And I just want to thank you. And just tell you, you know, to be encouraged. Continue pushing. Continue living for God. Continue doing what you're doing. Because, like you said, in the right time, what God has for you, he'll bring to your front step. I mean, he'll bring it right in front of you. It's not like, you don't have to go chase it down. You don't have to be chasing any man or anybody. But God brings it to you. He'll allow them to cross your path. And so just
mm-hmm.
be encouraged. Stay encouraged and keep doing what you're doing. But I enjoyed you. I know all of the listeners enjoyed you. And I just want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart. Just thank you for being on the show. And just keep doing what you're doing.
Okay. I appreciate it. And I enjoyed myself.
And, you know, I want to take this time to, for anybody who may have any questions for the show, because this show is not about me, it's not about Shayla, it's about you guys. I want it to be everybody to be involved. I want it to be relevant to all people. So if you have any questions, hit me up. Hit me up on Instagram, Twitter, at Soul, S-O-U-L, underscore Fisherman. And DM me on Twitter. Hit me up on Facebook. Email me, Adrian at adrianreese.com. Hit me up. Send questions, and I'll make it a habit of answering the questions on air, just doing a Q&A, because I want everyone who's listening to get something that they're coming for, get what they're coming for, because it's not for me. It's for all of us, and it's God-inspired. But like I said, I just want to thank you again, Shayla, for being on the show, and you've been tuned in to The Recruit with Adrian Reese, brought to you by Soar Radio. Big ups to PDP Richardson for the opportunity. And we'll be here same time next week, same time next Thursday. But until then, be blessed and be real.